Welcome to the Xbox 360 Defense Force podcast. I'm Richard Elliott, gamertag Demolition Elmo.
Hi, this is Jonah, and my gamertag is Jonah Falcon.
This is Matt, my gamertag is Matt Joe.
Okay, we haven't got a full show for you today, so we're just going to have a round table on some of the latest games that have come out for the Xbox 360.
Me and Matt are going to argue heavily over Fable 2, just to watch.
So, yeah, as you already said, that you're going to talk about Fable 2, so we might as well just start from there. So, this is Fable 2 is one of the big games that Microsoft is pushing this Christmas season. So just what are your general views on it?
Okay, I love it, Matt hates it. Let's start that off. So right now you think it's overrated. Yeah. I don't. I think it's you know what? The thing is that a lot of the stuff that's in it, Peter Molyneux streamlined everything that you hate about RPGs. For example, I know you were whining about this. You know, when you die in Fable 2, you don't exactly die. You get knocked down, scarred, and then you get back up. You lose the XP that you were going to have from fighting these enemies. And, you know, there's nothing different between that and actually just stopping, loading, and restarting, except for the fact that, you know, when you do that, nothing's changed about your character. In Fable 2, you get scarred, and it's a part of your record, and, you know, when you get knocked down a lot, you know, you start getting a reputation, you know, and, you know, that it's a lot more elegant than just having to load and reload, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, like, you die, and then you just get right back up and start the fight right where you left off. Like, there's no consequences other than the scars. But, like, I don't care about the scars on the character. Like, that doesn't make
a difference. Well, that's you. You don't care about your character gets scars, but everybody else in the world does. The merchants don't like you as much. You have to pay more for stuff,
that's
you know?
Doesn't matter, though. I have, like, unlimited money from the Fable 2 pub games. Like,
well, you know, but I don't. You invested the time to do the Fable 2 pub games. You know, I didn't. And the other thing is, you know, let me give you something. You know the titles that you can get during the game,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't affect anything in the gameplay. All it does is that people say, oh, it's Executioner. You can name yourself Chicken Chaser, you know, or Lardhead, you know. Oh, look, it's Chicken Chaser. Hello, Chicken Chaser. How's it going? It reminds me of those little gargoyles that hurl insults at you during the game. I didn't know what they were at first. You know, I heard this little teeny voice going, what? You're an executioner? Ha! You can't execute, you know, and I was like, what the hell's going on? And then I realized there was stone gargoyles. You shoot them, you can get their gold and all that stuff. But, you know.
But I mean, like, it just feels like, also, like, if you make someone, like, angry with you, it's so easy to get them back to, like, being happy with you. Like, it doesn't feel
no,
real. Like,
it's not that easy. I mean, if you'd really have to, you know, the thing is that, you know, even in real life, you know, you could have everybody thinking you're good, and then you shoot a few people, they all think you're evil, you know. But, like I said, it's something, you know, it's the sort of game in which you get what you put in, you know. If you just, you know, if you're just going to be there to whip through it, you know, and get the achievements, you know. It, you know, I have my female characters the second time through, and I'm discovering new things through the game, you know, and her fighting style, you know. The first character I did was mostly ranged fighting, you know, shooting and stuff. Oh, by the way, that's an improvement from the first Fable, because guns and, well, they didn't have guns, you know, crossbows and bows and arrows were almost useless in Fable, the first one. Here, they're really good. She fights, and she, you know, she has all these combos, even though you're just doing one button presses, and then you have the magic that I work with. You can get combos between your magic and your fighting and your shooting and all that stuff. So it becomes very choreographed. You know, she warps over to this guy behind him using time stop. She, what's it called, fights. Then sometimes you get these close-up, you know, it's like watching an anime cartoons with this woman, especially since I dressed her in all black. She's wearing the nobility dress, you know. and I had it dyed all black. So here she is. She's like someone from Crouching Tiger. It's really fun to watch her. And the thing is that I made her evil, but I made her pure as well. So she's a fanatic.
Right.
She doesn't get horns, but her eyes glow red.
Yeah, but like I just feel like the actual world of Fable 2, like I'm not just rushing through it. Like I'm doing like the story, I'm doing side missions, like I'm exploring. It's just like I find it hard to care really. Like I don't care how my character is perceived or what he looks like. And I just find it like boring. I mean the quests
That's
are just like dull and like I don't
like
know.
Playing the Sims, it's like playing The Sims 2 and not caring about what your house looks like, you know?
Yeah,
and just trying to become a scientist.
I think it's because I've been spoiled by Fallout 3 because that is just like miles ahead.
Well, we'll come on
like,
to that later.
I don't think it's miles ahead. Well, before we go on to Fallout 3, let's discuss the dog.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. That's the thing that Molyneux has been talking about like the heart a lot. It's like going, oh, you got the dog this time, and he's gonna look after you, and you gotta look after it, and he's gonna go.
He's
like, it's. What do you think about?
You know
it?
What? I'm gonna say this. Every game, if they're gonna include a companion character, they should be like the dog. You know, well, if they're human, you don't want them on all fours and barking. But yeah, I mean, the dog really, you know, does everything that you want him to. You know, what's it called? He'll start barking when there's a treasure nearby and go over to it. He'll let me know where the keys are, and those are the hardest things to find in the first games, you know. He'll start growling when there's enemies nearby. You don't need a mini-map, like Peter Molyneux said. And you know what? He never annoys the player. He's always a benefit. He never annoys, and the animation is fantastic, too.
Yeah, no, the dog is great. Like, I'm not gonna doubt that. Like, it's a great invention, but just the actual game, like, I still haven't beaten it. Like, I just can't bring myself to beat it, 'cause like I just don't enjoy it while I'm playing it. Like I just find like I don't care about anything that's going on. Like the whole game's built on like how people like see you and like what your reputation is and like how you dress and stuff.
Whoa,
like,
whoa! You know you're making this. You know what? The thing is that you haven't played the entire game, and the thing is that it sounds like you really not are getting into it. You know, complete the game and start again with play it differently. You know, because the thing is that if you don't like it, you know, if you have a negative reaction, you know, if there's a je ne sais quoi that you don't like, then you're never going to like it, you know? But the thing is that if you pay attention to the story, it's very affecting.
I can't really speak that much because I haven't played it, but it sounds to me, Matt, like you've played pub games, you've got the money, so therefore that's one aspect which you don't really care about. You've got the money, so you're not really caring about perceive you.
But I didn't play it. I don't care about the money either.
I know.
That's
but
the thing is that I don't have any money, and it's fine with me.
But that's just like it's not just like the money, but I mean, it's like that's like one aspect that's kind of in Matt's version of the game is out the window because he's already got the money. It's like putting a cheat code in at the very beginning and having infinite money. If you know what I mean,
you know,
it's like one thing you have, don't have
play
to
play that big a role in it.
I know, but it's, I mean, it's the one thing you
like,
have to ignore.
The story, like, you don't even need like, I mean, you need some money, but like, you don't need that much. You don't need like people to like love you or hate you. You could beat the story just like as a normal guy. Like that stuff doesn't.
But
really
Matt,
affect
have you
that
been
much.
Buying stuff into? You know, if you're really, really rich, this is something you can do. You can buy a pub.
I know,
right?
I bought one. I have bought.
Okay, try this. Set the drink, the price of drinks to zero.
I know, and you become corrupt. I know.
No, but no. You become pure. But the thing is that everybody in town becomes
pure,
drunk.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, if you set the prices real high, you become corrupt. No,
yeah,
if you set all the prices real low, it's funny. You'll have people, just walking around drunk.
Like, who cares? Like, that doesn't affect the game at all.
See, but
like,
that's just it. You know, the entire point of the game is how you affect the world. That's what the game is about. You do stuff, it affects how games, you know. In the beginning, you know, if you help out the shady character, you come back when you're an adult. That the old part of Bowerstone is like South Bronx in 1972. You know, is people running around there all corrupt? You know, it's look. You know what? This is a game that you're either gonna love or maybe hate, like Matt, because we all know about his music. What's it called? Taste. So we're gonna have to. What's it called? His music taste equal to his Fable taste. See, right there.
I just think like the main grab of the game, which is like expressions and like affecting people and like purity and corruption. I just think that stuff like doesn't matter. Like I don't care.
You know, it's not the emoticons that is. It's about what you do, not how you. And the funny thing is that I wish they'd remap the emotions, the magic, to a different button than B, because I keep on using B to exit out of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So what happens is I end up casting a spell. Now the thing is, you can't hurt anybody unless you turn your safety off. Then you can hurt everybody you like, except kids. The thing is that when I do that, all of a sudden everybody gets afraid because you're brandishing your magic and everybody's screaming around. Ah! You know, it's funny, but kind of annoying. Anyways, I think we've talked the hell out.
You mentioned you can kill kids in Fallout 3. You actually can.
You can? Oh, you can.
Yeah. Well, so, not you personally, but kids do die, which I'm so very surprised at. Like, one kid's head just blows up.
Yeah, but you can't do it.
No,
you
but no. So another guy just blew a kid's head up, which I was very surprised they allowed in the game.
Yeah, well...
Okay, so let's go to Fallout 3
now. This is a discussion that we need to talk about another time, like how... animals and kids are perceived in games. But yeah, so Fallout 3, the post-apocalypse game by Bethesda.
I have both the PC and 360 version.
And Matt just has the 360 version, I'm guessing.
There's a reason for that. The PC version comes with live achievements. And you can also chat with people from the game as you do, like you do in Fable 2 and Shadowrun for the PC. So I have double achievements. I have achievements for Fallout 3 for the PC and for the 360.
Bleep, bloop.
And I'm going to tell you something. It's really gorgeous on the PC, you know. But getting back to the 360 version, Matt, why don't you start since you love that game?
I think it's the greatest game ever created. Like, ever. I mean, if you've read the review, you'll see that. I mean, there's really not much I could complain about. I think it's just the best game I've ever played, and it's spoiled me.
Okay. Now, let's go to the graphics. The game is absolutely gorgeous. Now, picture the Oblivion engine times two. And here's the thing, is that, you know, you have environments in Fallout 3, which would not lend themselves to beauty because most of it is hard scrabble, desert, you know, nuclear waste rock. And yet, you know, the yellows and all that, it really looks good. Even Megaton, which is a dingy dunghole of a town, Megaton, you know, the town with the bomb in the middle of it, it's still, you know, they built that out of airplane parts and it looks it, you know. So, there are some things that really annoy me in Fallout 3, though. One is the lockpicking and the computer password finding.
That used to annoy me, but like once you figure it out, it's not that bad.
Yeah, what you do is you save before you get there, and if fail, you load and try again.
Yeah, exactly.
Fail, load and try it again. And the thing is that it cheats, too. I'm going to tell you something. The computers... what happens is when you're doing the computer passwords, you pick one of the words from this jumble set things like, orchestrate, right? And it'll tell you how many of the letters are correct in it, you know, sort of like Mastermind. But here's the thing is that I found it's total BS because another word, I would get one that says 1 of 9, then I'd inadvertently select on the second thing the right one, and there would be more than a few letters that match the first one, so I know it's all BS. You know, they say, well, you have to pick... No, sorry, doesn't work that way. It's just random luck. As for lock picking, why do you... You know, for one thing, the mechanism of lock picking is annoying enough. So I just force lock. And, I load if I fail, and I force lock again. You know what? Just have it so that if you have a high enough science skill or hacking skill, you automatically get it. If you have a high enough, you know, lock picking skill, you automatically do it and just lose a bobby pin. You know, it's just too much to go through. The VAT system is great, though. When it's working really well, you know. And the thing is that you can't really depend on the VAT system. Now, for those of you who don't understand, the VAT system is where you go into a pause, and then you have a certain amount of action points that you can take to specifically aim at the enemy. You can aim at his torso. It'll give you percentages also. You can aim at their head, and each limbs have a certain amount of points, you know, percentage, that if you go over zero, if you hit it to 0%, it becomes useless. Except for head, it just disorients them. And if you have a 0% on your head, you don't die. But every time you're walking around, and every few moments, you'll go, you know, and the entire world will start to spin, you know. But it's nice. But you can't, you know. I found that you can't rely on it. And aside from the action points, and that, you know, sometimes you'll be near cover, right? And you'll do a VATS, and for some reason your character will be firing at the cover. I don't care how badly I'm missing. If there's an enemy in front of me, 5 feet away, I shouldn't be shooting at my cover. You know, so there is. But all in all, it's great, especially when you do a critical hit. You know, and their head blows up like a pinata.
I think from all I've read about it and all I've seen about it, the VATS system seems to be the the big draw for the game, apart from the graphics and everything. But I mean, that it's like it's apparently universally adored, and like there's only been a few like small things that have nitpicks, like for example camera action, like camera angles when sometimes the heads blow off and all that, like it picks a bad camera angle. But I mean, it sounds like one of the main selling points of the game. Would you agree with that?
I don't think it's a selling point for me. I think it could be refined, but the real selling point is the story. I'm sorry, Matt. I'll let you jump in. It's the story, and it's the karma system, which is like Fable 2, in which what you do in the game has an effect for the rest of the game. You know, and there's supposed to be tons and tons of endings, you know, only a few specific endings, but then they're modified by what you did earlier in the game. So everything that you did earlier in the game comes up and lets you, what's it called? And, you know, you're either rewarded or damned for it, whatever, you know. Since Matt actually finished, I'm about to finish the first part of the game, but Matt's finished it without any spoilers. Tell us about the ending.
Okay, well, like, you know, they said, like, there's, like, over 200 possible endings, like...
Is it 600?
Or whatever. I highly doubt that. Like, I beat the game, and I could see how there could be multiple endings for sure. I mean, the very last thing you do in the game is make a choice, which will give you one of two endings. And I could see how there could be even maybe up to 10 endings, but hundreds of endings? Like, I highly doubt it.
Well, it's not that there are hundreds of endings. It's just that... the way, you know, depending on who lived, who died, what you did, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, I've done, modified. Like, I haven't done every quest. I'm about 20 hours in. I'm, like, level 15. I've probably done at least 75% of all the quests in the game. And, like, I cannot see 200 endings. Like, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying I can't see how it could possibly happen. Like, there's not that many decisions.
So what you're saying is it's basically marketing BS.
Yeah.
No, I actually, you know, Matt, how many times have you completed it?
I've only completed it once. I'm doing it.
Right, there you go.
Now.
When you do, that's when you play it differently, right?
Yeah.
Try the same choice that you did for the first ending and see how it changes. You know, you can save and, you know, what's it called? Just experimentally see how it saves.
I know. Before I made that last choice in the very last moment of the game, I did save. So I have seen both the possible endings that it gave me.
And no, I mean,
by the way, before you do beat the game, make sure you have a save because you can't go back. Once you beat it, it's over. So. But, no, I can't see how there could be 200 endings. I mean, the ending I got was really good, but, I mean, even if you do make certain choices, like, there's not that many big choices that affect the game. Like, there's a good number, but definitely not enough for 200. I really
did you have Fox with you?
Yes, I did have Fox.
Oh, okay, good. Because I do, too. One of the things is now Fox is a super mutant, right? And you can actually befriend him. And here's the thing is that now, if you know anything about the Brotherhood of Steel, the Brotherhood of Steel hates two things. They hate the Enclave, and they hate super mutants. So I
Fox is different.
In.
Like, he's not a mean super mutant. He's like,
I know, but still, you know, they're shoot on sight kind of guys, you know? I stroll in wearing Enclave armor and have Fox in tow. No one even blinked. Count for him. It's like he's invisible. What? So.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But, I mean, the only problem I could think of, I mean, I've put like 20 hours into it, so I think I can make a fair enough judgment. The only real quirk I have about it is that you can't fast travel if you're inside or if there's enemies nearby. And I guess
that's the same thing as Oblivion, though.
Yeah, I know. I guess enemies nearby is fine, but if you're inside, why can't you fast travel if you're inside?
Because, you know, the thing is that part of it is part of the game engine. But the other thing is that they might have a surprise for you. I mean, at one point, if you recall near the end, you know, you have the item that you came for, and all of a sudden, boom, you know,
I know what you mean.
And the thing is, that would have never come as a surprise if you try to fast travel from there and say, oh, wait, I can't.
I know, but if you're just, like, inside a building exploring and you're not on a quest, you should definitely be able to fast travel. I've got, like, lost in, like, subway stations and caves and stuff, and, like, I've never gotten that lost.
If you select something on the world map, in the local map, it'll show you which doors you have to go through to get out anyway.
I mean, it sounds like
you just want to save time is what it sounds like you're doing.
It's just nice to fast travel, you know?
I
mean, the thing that amazes me the most is just the sheer amount of things in the game, like how big the game really is. Like, I've seen, like, video reviews, and in those video reviews, I've seen, like, weapons and enemies and locations that I've, like, never even been to, and I'm, like, 20 hours in.
There's another thing I haven't seen. You know that the content changes depending on your karma.
Yeah, that's true.
They said that if you're good karma, there'll be things that are open, but other doors will close. If you're neutral karma, other things, you know, close. If you're evil, if you're bad karma. And the thing is that neutral karma intrigues me the most because I still haven't figured out a way to see what your karma is, to actually see it, you know.
Oh, you go into your Pip-Boy and you go under stats in general.
Oh, okay, cool. Because they said that the biggest reward is when you're neutral, you know, which is sort of like a mercenary, you know, what's it called? You have these, you know. So it's you know, it'll be interesting to play through Fallout 3 a few times, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely play through it multiple times. There are enough decisions to make that it would change it. Like I said before, not enough decisions that could.
But the thing is that you if you're playing one way, now you played good karma, right?
Well, I wasn't good the whole time. I mean, I did some things that put me into neutral and bad. But I mean, for the most part, yeah, I ended the game with good.
Well, here's the interesting thing is that I think Bethesda, I think, said that if you can play one way and if you turn and go down a path for the rest of the way, the game actually reflects that as well. Like if you started with the bad karma and then at some point in the middle you decided, hey, I'm going to start, and then you veered over into good karma, it'll open up an entirely new game. Like, everything's interconnected to it. So I think in order for us to really get a sense of what this game is like, we're going to have to see the we're going to have to play it several times to see how it is.
So we're going to talk about now the NXE, which is like the new Xbox experience, which is coming on November 19th. So it's just a few weeks away now, just 3 more weeks, and then we'll all be able to have that Avatar goodness.
You know what's really funny is that people, when they heard about the avatars and all the stuff, the NXE, you know, a couple of months ago, whatever. And I can't wait. Mostly because they want to burn their discs onto the drive and they want Netflix, but also they're getting excited with the avatars too. It's like, it never fails. You know, every time Microsoft announces something, people are saying, yeah, whatever. But when it starts getting closer and closer, people are like, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I mean, I applied for the beta as well. I didn't get in.
I was just about to say, Microsoft have allowed some users to register and attempt to get into a, as it were, beta for the, or beta.
No, the preview program. It's a beta.
Yeah.
It's a beta.
It's just for suggestions and comments and feedback and stuff like that, but none of the feedback that they receive will actually go into the final version that will be out on November 19th. That'll come in later. So hopefully so people who have officially got into it will hopefully be influencing it longer down the line. But
one thing I really hope they have is if you and your friends all have Netflix accounts, that you're able to sync the movie at the same time, so that it starts for everybody at the same time. You know, syncing everybody's downloads, so that when you're watching it, you know, you can have it perfectly synced, so that everybody watches the movie at the same time. You know.
Yeah, that might be a bit hard to do, but yeah.
Anyways,
if it's streamed, then yeah, that could kind of come up with some. But anyway, the reason why I said officially is because. As I said, Microsoft got this preview program, and you have to sign up. And there were thousands upon millions of people who were all signing up to try and get into this new Xbox experience. And they could only accept a handful of people, so a few thousand or so. So that's kind of contradicting myself. Handfuls.
Don't worry about it. we get the idea.
Yeah. So, yes, they can only allow a few people in.
One of the new features of NXE is able to, use your USB drive with the 360, and that's created some problems.
Yes. So what's happened is some bright spark has come along, actually uploaded the NXE. They've actually got into the program, then they've uploaded the NXE update onto the internet. Now, you can now download that off the internet, put it on a USB thumbstick, and if you put the thumbstick into your Xbox and when you turn it on, it'll come up saying, hey, look, we've found an update for you. So you can just download it, and as it seems, you've kind of got away with it.
Yeah, but
not really.
You can't sign on to live if you do that.
Yeah, As it stands, you have to, your console when as part of the registration like the part of the registration process, you have to type in your console ID, which is each Xbox 360 console has this unique code on the back, and that means that like that's just your personal Xbox. So you can only
told Microsoft that you're stealing something, basically, when you do.
Yeah, so when you upload it, you're kind of saying, hey, look, I'm plugged into the internet, but I can't get on because I'm stealing. So on the first level of, let's just say, the first slapping of the hand is initially you won't be able to get onto live. Now, you'll be able to get on November, from November 19th onwards, like the rest of the world. But the thing is, nobody knows what will happen to those people who have illegitimate copies on running on their Xboxes. Now, in the past, I was having a conversation.
Oh, one other thing, by the way, before you go on, they'll also know who you got it from.
Yes.
Because each of the... So I'm pretty sure what's going to happen is that the person who distributed it is going to get banhammered. Bye-bye. Your Xbox is dead. You can't do anything with it. I mean, online with it.
Yeah.
Forever.
So I forgot what I was going to say now. So no one knows what they're going to do. In the past, Microsoft have branded people who hack consoles cheaters. If people are playing the same game from the different countries, like so they have a Japanese console, an English a European console and an American console, they play the same game three times and they've got 3,000 game score for the same game. Like those are the kind of people that are getting the on their Xbox card, game card, they're having cheater branded on them. So, yeah, that's just an example of what could happen. They could just say, steal, like thief.
Yeah, let's just say, be patient for the next 3 weeks and, you know, just plan what your avatar is going to look like.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I don't even care about the new update that much. Like, I'm not even that excited. Like, I don't need it.
You'll miss the spoil spot.
Liar.
You'll miss
you know
the
what?
Spoil spot.
The party system alone is going to suck you in.
Yeah, like, I'm looking forward to that, but like, I'm not.
But looking forward to it.
Burning your game so that they run a little bit faster and you don't have the worrying of the drive
as
it
plays.
That
takes a lot of space.
Yeah,
but... Yeah, well, so... 8 megabytes. I have a 120 gigabyte hard drive, buddy. You're going to have to upgrade your hard drive, dude. Oh, on a related note, the 60 gigabyte hard drive is going on sale for $99, but it'll include 3 months of live, which is $12.50, you know, American. So if you need to upgrade your hard drive space, Matt, there you go. And the thing is, you know, you still need to have the disk in the drive. So what it is sort of like, you know, the game that you're playing the most right now, you install, and when you're tired of it, you just delete it from the hard drive. You're just always going to be able to play it off the disk.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just for those hot games, you know, that you need to play right now, you know, and you always are constantly playing, like Rock Band 2, you know?
Yeah, I was just about to say, on a hard drive note, any British people who are listening, Argos, on the website, they've got a clearance on the 20 gigabyte hard drive, so it might be something you want to look into if you're looking for some storage space, but yeah. So.
Oh, wait, while we're going on that, now, the arcade systems, which don't have hard drives, Microsoft has a little offer for people. We haven't been able to discuss this. If you send it, if you register, they'll either send you the 512 megabyte memory card for free, or
wowzers.
You can buy a 20 gigabyte hard drive for $20. You go to Xbox.com and you apply for it. They'll know if you don't have a hard drive or not. You know, for the people, you know, so that they can enjoy the NXE as well, because it's going to take up 128 gigabytes. I mean, not gigabytes, megabytes.
What I want to know is, you know, you can go into the systems, as it stands at the moment, you can go to the system blade and you can look on what's on the hard drive and you can delete like games and you can format the whole hard drive. What happens if you've got NXE on and you format your hard drive?
Well, you know, the thing is, it'll probably, when next time you're on live, it'll update it again.
Good point.
It's the same thing that you know, what's it called? I have a formatted 20 gig here, you know, after I got my 120, you know, I have nothing to do with. I'm not going to sell it on. My thing is that if I decide to get a 199 360 over the, you know, I'll just slap it on. But, you know, it's just something that automatically updates. By the way, have you seen the opening video for the new NXE?
Nope.
Microsoft does a little CGI party for you. I mean, you could skip through it, you know, but it's really entertaining. It's like watching one of those commercials that you've seen. So you know, it's nothing special, but it is a little bit fun to watch.
So what are you referring to? Like, do you still get the Xbox? Like, you know, when it
you get the Xbox logo, right? It melts in from the background, and then it flattens out, and then it turns into a bird, and flies, and then it flies over this landscape, where all these you know, Tron-like lines shoot out, and you have racers going through, and all that stuff, you know.
Ooh.
But you can skip through that. I mean, yeah, the thing is that you don't have to watch the entire thing. You can just, you know, clip through it. You know, it's like
pretty movie. Just.
Yeah, they just want to show off some CGI effects. you know, one of the things, by the way, that people are not talking about the NXC, which is a really big part, and that is this. You can now, you will be able to, I mean, purchase stuff off Xbox.com on your PC, and when you turn on your 360, it'll automatically download the content you just purchased from the PC onto your 360.
Another point, if you are on, say, if you follow Major Nelson on Twitter and he gives away codes for, say, the Call of Duty 5 beta that's been running, you'll be able to just copy and paste that code onto the redemption code section on the Xbox website, and that'll, so basically the whole rush to download, like to type in those codes, is going to get a whole lot more frantic.
Cut and paste.
Yeah, it was like cut and paste. But I mean, now it's as it stands, it's holy crap. Where's my keyboard? Plug the USB keyboard into your computer and type it in as fast as possible. Like, but now, but once November 19th hits, it'll be cut and paste, and then the whole sense of competition will be gone.
Oh boy. Everybody's also bracing for the great big live shutdown that's going to happen like a day later or something, you know, because they know that there's going to be a massive load to the system. It's like, it's going to be chaos like it was 2 years ago, you know?
Was that 2 years ago? I thought that was 1 year ago.
Yeah, it was last year in the winter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was, I was
regardless, gonna... you know, and that and Gears of War 2, you know.
Now, with people... you've touched about this, and I really want to start wrapping this up soon, but... you were touching on the live going down. Do you think Microsoft have learnt their lesson from last year and will be trying to keep it up as much as possible? Or do you think that
they might have learned their lesson, but I don't think there's anything they can do to control it. Like, I think it's inevitable. It will happen.
It's like everybody flushing their toilet at the same time in a city, you know? You can prepare all you like for it, but it's not going to prepare. You're not going to be able to deal with it. You know, yeah. If everybody ordered a Blintze at the same time, you know, there would be mass chaos.
Like, it just has to happen. Like, there's no way around it, I don't think.
I mean, you know, just gird your loins or have some prepare for something else. Like, make that the day you go to Central Park or something.
All right. So before we wrap the show up, I know Jonah wants to speak about the Beatles game that has been announced by Harmonix.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to probably go into this in more in depth with the next full show. But, I mean, just details-wise, just quick deets. Without going into a full discussion. Jonah, take it away.
Oh, go ahead. Okay, well, the thing is that Activision and Harmonix are combining for this game, which is sort of strange. At least that's what I've heard. I know that Activision had been trying to do a lot of the Beatles license. Now, I'm not sure if Activision is, but what Harmonix has said is it's not going to be a Rock Band, the Beatles. It's not going to be Guitar Hero, the Beatles. This is going to be its own separate game. And just a few days ago, they announced that it'll include 45 songs from the Beatles catalog. What those songs are, I don't know. But you know what? I want to see what non-standard Beatles songs they come up with. You know, if they have, you know, those Beatles songs, which are not as well known, you know, not I Want to Hold Your Hand or you know, or a thing like something like Paperback Writer.
Those songs are very well known, I think.
Well, I know I want to hold. I mean, I'm talking about non-standard because there's 45 songs. I think 30 of them have been number one at one point or another, and then you have the second tier of Beatles songs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm British, well, so I mean that kind of gives me a bit.
Think about it.
I'm British, so it kind of gives me a bit of a head start on the music. But I mean, those songs that I mean, I'm just looking through the set list now. I mean, there are some songs which I've never heard in my life. If I probably went on hypem.com and typed them in, I probably have heard some maybe before. But yeah, it's like you said, it's second tier stuff, first tier, second tier. No,
I'm pretty sure they can have the big titles. You know, You say you want a revolution and all that stuff.
Speaking of music games, didn't that rock band AC/DC thing come out today?
Yeah, it actually it's been on sale in New York for a while now.
Really?
I mean, from the MTV store.
It's a disc, right? It's like a retail disc.
Yeah, it's a disc. Yeah, it's been at the MTV store here in New York. I'm sort of ambivalent about the AC/DC. I know they do some good songs, but I'm not such an AC/DC fan that I think I will shell out the money for the Beatles game, for the Beatles song game, even if it's not connected to Rock Band.
Hey, at least you'll get some achievements on that, though.
Yeah. I'm for sure going to buy the Beatles thing, whatever it is.
I mean, I always wanted to play Octopus Garden on my computer, and now I can.
You might be able to play some Beatles songs sooner in Guitar Hero World Tour if anyone makes it with a GH Tunes, the music creator thing.
You can't do that. They're gonna immediately take it off. They already said that. Anything licensed, off it goes.
No, because I've seen like the Super Mario.
I know, but you know what? They haven't gotten around to it. They're not allowed to have licensed stuff, so they're gonna take it as soon as they can.
Because I've seen a lot of songs where people like are imitating like or covering just normal like real life songs, and they haven't taken a lot of them off yet. So,
well,
yet.
Well, we'll probably go into this a bit more in depth with the next show with Holly and with Patrick and
Patrick.
Yeah. So I think we should just start to wrap the show up. I think. So.
What have you been playing anyway?
Yeah, I have been playing Bugger All. well, apart from a few DS games, I mean, I've been in Tunisia this last week, so I met the Tunisian Dustin Berg. I'm gonna have to Photoshop a version of that, but he looked the spitting image of Dustin Berg. If you've seen a photo of him on Facebook, it was him, but like Tunisian. But yeah, and it was I'll go into this a bit when we've gone off air, but it's a funny point you should bring up, flushing the toilets all at one time. But yeah, apart from some DS games, I mean, I've been getting into Mario 64 DS, but other than that.
I've been playing a lot of Fallout 3, mostly on the PC, some on the 360. I've been playing Fable 2, obviously. I've also been playing Thief Deadly Shadows on my PC. I don't know why I'm in a thief mood. And I've also been playing Dead Rising so that I get into the mood for Left 4 Dead.
Have you seen the opening scene?
Yeah.
Oh, getting that.
It's intense. The witch is really scary. She only appears on advanced games. She doesn't appear on anything less than advanced. She's that deadly.
Yeah, I've been playing some Halo 3, Fable 2, Rock Band 2. Since I got the drums for Guitar Hero World Tour, I've been doing some of the achievements in Rock Band 2 that I needed the drums for. I've been playing Guitar Hero World Tour, Fallout 3, and that's about it.
Cool.
Okay, so this has kind of been a mashed together back to front, as you can tell. We've just done that we normally do at the start, at the end. But yeah, this has been a mashed together show. We wanted to put something out there so you didn't the audience didn't feel
bangers and mash.
Yeah, bangers and mash. So yeah, this will be episode whatever we're on now.
Titled
six.
Oh god,
of real shows. Yeah,
the JPEG will have our heads. But yeah, episode 6, bangers and mash. So. Bangers and mash on a plate with Dustin Berg's face on. That'll be the photoshopped image. So
this is Jonah Falcon.
Yeah, this has been Richard Elliott.
This has been Matt Joe.
And
see you later.
Yep, see you. Bye.
Thank God you didn't say anything about Toad in the Hole.